This is a Crowd podcast.
This is Influenced, the podcast that will get inside your mind, or at least make you think that it has. We've got guests, but a lot of podcasts have guests. My guests think they're here to plug something, but little do they know, from the moment they walk in, I'm playing games with their minds.
How did you do that?
I'm in control.
How?
What?
Get out of my head!
See, I love mind games. I'm a mentalist, and what my guests don't know is that they're being influenced the entire time. I mean, even if it is in the podcast title.
Are you ready?
Oh my God.
Watch. I'm just messing with you.
Oh
no,
my
I can't. Can you imagine?
Are you going to explain or?
Oh my God. How?
Feel weirded out?
Very.
We're just getting started, trust me.
You're literally a wizard. This is great. I feel like I'm chatting to Dumbledore.
Because you don't really know what's about to happen.
I have no idea.
How? How?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
This week I'm joined by Hannah and Sarudi from the popular true crime podcast Red Handed. And as they're so clued up on criminals, I'm going to put their skills to the test. Will they be able to figure out when somebody is lying to them? Well, let's find out. Guard your minds and welcome to Influenced.
Girls, welcome to Influenced.
Thank you for having us.
Glad you said that. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here.
I'm less thankful and more suspicious already.
I will say, out of all the guests we've had, you're like the most skeptical girls I've ever seen in my life.
No, I'm not skeptical. I'm more just like, burn the witch, you know? Like,
well,
I don't.
Yeah. We make our business in being curious. Yeah. So we're just very curious.
I think it's a good way to be. I'm a bit like that as well. And that's why I like magic so much. But anyway, listen, girls, thank you for coming on the show today. I would like to get to know you a little bit better before we do like our formal introductions. But Hannah, I thought we'd kick this off with you and play a little game.
Okay.
It's a very fun game. You should be very excited.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good, just so the listeners know. It's a game of two truths and a lie, meaning I'm going to ask you for three bits of business.
Yep.
You're going to give me three bits of business, and I'm going to try and tell you which of those things are true and which are a lie.
Okay.
And if I get it wrong, we'll just cut it from the episode. No one needs to know. It's fine. I'm going to give you a second just to get these in your head right now, because I know being put on the spot can be an awful lot. So you can take a little minute, check with yourself, get these things inside your head. What's interesting is that neither of us actually know. Well, no. we don't have a clue.
No, I don't know. But I do think, I'm going to say that I'll be able to guess which is the lie.
Well, how long have you girls known each other?
6 years.
Okay, so you know each other very well.
And we spend every day together.
Yeah.
So.
You look happy about that?
Yeah. No, I'm like, so I feel like if I don't know, it's going to be shocking. Mm.
Well, it's a one in three.
Yeah.
It's a one in three, which means if I get it wrong.
Okay.
I should probably just retire.
Right, okay. Well, hopefully I won't be the one to end your very illustrious career.
Absolutely. No, I will say, because you're quite skeptical.
Okay.
I think, just to give you a heads up, I think what you're going to try and do is put off the lie right to the very end.
Oh.
That's what I think you're going to try and do.
I was thinking about this in the car on the way here. It's like, I bet people get worried about, or maybe they try and double bluff you by sticking it in the middle, or maybe they say it first because they're nervous.
Almost nobody puts it in the middle.
Interesting.
I think maybe one person in the entire first series of this show has put it in the middle.
Oh, really? I would have put it in the middle.
Yeah, a lot of people put it first because it gets it out of the way.
Right.
Fast.
Okay.
And to be fair, I actually played the game yesterday on a different podcast where I give two truths and a lie. I left mine to the end. That's what I did. Just so I could be relaxed.
He's trying to get in your head, Hannah.
He's in there.
He's
moved
right
in.
Now, there's lots going on. Lots going on. We're not going to talk about it. Okay, Hannah, no pressure.
Okay.
But I mean, the world is listening to you right now. Could you tell us your first bit of business?
My first bit of business is that my legs bend backwards.
Your legs bend backwards?
Yeah.
Right, I hope that's not true. I would ask you to demonstrate, but that would just give it away. So we'll save that for a second.
I'll show you later.
Will you? Okay, interesting. Could be an empty
threat. It's a medical
threat. Could be, yeah. It's quite serious. I'm so sorry.
Walking's a nightmare.
I'm so sorry.
As a child, this is very upsetting.
Well, we'll leave that for a second. I'm going to ask for your second piece. But you're saying your legs bend backwards.
Yes.
All right. Okay, I'll take it. Number two.
I was head girl at school.
You were head girl at school.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that there in the final one. I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
I'm a classically trained soprano.
You're a classically trained soprano.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's true. I don't think you'd say classically trained unless you sort of knew what you were talking about. And you have a very nice voice. I mean,
Thank you.
A podcaster. I'm going to say that is true. You're a classically trained soprano?
I am, that is true.
Wow, do you want to give us a little note?
Nope.
Fair play to you.
Fair. I'm not warmed up, I couldn't possibly. Yeah.
Well, we can take 10 minutes, we can do some exercises. I brought a ukulele with me, just for this moment. You're a classically trained soprano?
I am, yeah.
How long have you been singing for?
I don't do it so much anymore because I get all of my absolute need to be the centre of attention from the podcast. So I haven't done it for a while. But I was doing it up until my sort of mid-20s.
Fantastic. When did you start?
When I was 6.
Multi-talented girl, look at that. That's amazing stuff. That's a good truth, isn't
that
it?
That is a good truth.
That's a good truth. And I like to see it. So it's either you're a head girl or you have rickety legs. Let's find out which it is. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or show me your legs because that would be bizarre and the listeners would have no idea what's going on. Can I ask you one question about being the head girl? Mm. What was it that you think made you a head girl? Why do you think they picked you?
Because I just won't shut up. And you have to give assemblies quite a lot. So it's a confidence thing.
You stopped talking quite quickly. I think you ran out of stuff to say. I'm going to go ahead and say that that's a favorite. I think maybe you could have been head girl, but I don't think you were head girl. And I actually believe you about the legs.
No, I was not head girl. She was.
Look at you.
That's how I knew that one was a lie.
Because it drives her out the wall, because on my CV I used to put head girl. Because the head girl in my year went to do veterinary science at Cambridge, and when are we ever going to be applying for the same job?
Very, very true. I was talking to someone about this yesterday, how you could just fake most of the stuff on your CV. No one would check. We were talking about Duke of Edinburgh's award and how I don't think anyone would fact check that at all. I don't even think they'd fact check. This is coming from someone who's never written a CV. So take that with a pinch of salt, kids. Don't maybe go out and lie. But I mean, if you have to.
No.
Just stick down that you're a head girl.
Exactly.
That would be my advice to everyone. Don't tell her though, she's furious.
I'm going to tell everybody I was head girl. Nicely done. Okay, well, we're off to a good start. And, you know, sorry if it's a sensitive topic to bring it up, but your bendy legs?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, do you want to see?
I really do. So I'm going to describe this for the listeners.
One goes further than the other.
Oh, let's see. Is it painful?
No, it feels very natural.
Wow. If all goes downhill, you can just busk and do that. Do that on the streets.
Yeah,
people will pay you for that.
I've got hypermobile joints. There's too much fluid in there, so they go.
That's what it is. Hypermobile joints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. I'm very stiff joints. Yeah. I don't. No, no. Does it actually help with anything?
No, it's really bad for you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I have to like train. So that feels normal to me. So standing like a normal person feels wrong. So I've had to like...
You've had to learn how to stand
normal.
Learn
how to stand properly, yeah.
That's mental. Well, listen, Hannah, I appreciate you coming with the facts and coming with the fibs as well.
Thank you. And, I don't feel like I covered my arse very well, but thank you.
You did better than some. You did better than some. But the idea is just to get to know you a little bit, and we'll do that maybe a bit more in a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, I managed to get this one fairly easily. Once I guessed the first one correctly, I could spot the lie straight away. She very quickly ran out of things to say when I interrogated further. Another easy one. What I want to know is how you guys met, because you have an incredibly successful podcast, that being Red Handed True Crime. A lot of the listeners here will probably already have heard it, but if you haven't, girls, tell me a little bit about the podcast and how that all started.
Oh, so we met 6 years ago. We didn't know each other before that. We actually met at a party at Hannah's house. So my childhood friend was sleeping on her sofa. I thought he was living there paying rent. So that was embarrassing for me when he invited me to the party.
Not a penny.
Didn't know that.
She did once buy a Hoover that did not work as some sort of thank you.
So yes, he was like, "Hey, we're having a party at our house. You should come." And I was like, "Sure, you pay rent there, right? And don't just pay them in broken vacuum cleaners." So I come along to this party, and I'd been traveling for like a year at that point. So I was kind of like, I need to reconnect into London. I need to like, you know, get back into the swing of things here and stop feeling like I'm still a traveler. So I came to this party. Met Hannah there. We got very drunk together, and obviously on my year travels is when I had discovered podcasting. Because I think 6 years ago in the UK, not that many people were really listening to podcasts. So I think when I came back after I had discovered podcasts, thanks to my dad, of all people, and I realized like there is just an amazing amount of content out there that people can listen to for free. You can download it in your hostel using the Wi-Fi and then sit on like a 27-hour bus journey across Asia and your phone won't even drain. It was like the best thing ever. So when I came to this party and met Hannah, and she was listening to podcasts and also listening to the very same, very specific American true crime podcast that I was listening to, it just felt like a bit of a eureka moment. But we kind of just were like, why don't we start a true crime podcast, you know, a couple of bottles of wine in? And I thought, I sort of left thinking, I'm never going to see that girl again. But then I woke up the next day and I was like, we'd actually swapped numbers. And I was like, this is meant to be. So then we went on a like friendship podcast date to the Blind Beggar in Whitechapel. And we just kind of hit it off and we spent the whole time talking about crime. And we actually did it. We actually did what we said we were going to do as two complete strangers. We bought like a £10 microphone. We had no idea about editing, research. We'd never come from a background in anything to do with anything like anywhere near podcasting. And we have now taken down the first three episodes we ever recorded because the sound quality was so atrocious.
I hope you kept the files.
I burned them.
No one needs to hear that. We re-recorded them, so we don't need
that.
Oh,
that's okay.
No, it still keeps me up. I hate it. I can't stand it. I'll like wake up in the middle of the night and be like,
they're bad. They were really bad. And you know, we just didn't have a clue. And we were trying all these different things. And we were like, for example, at the time where Hannah lived, she had a little cupboard under the stairs, like a little Harry Potter cupboard under the stairs. And we were like, maybe if we just go into a smaller space, we can just like record in there and it will be fine. So we go in there on like the hottest day of the year. This must have been like 2017, with a laptop, one microphone, left our phones outside and went in. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if I like closed this door and it just locked it? And I am not even kidding you. I pulled the door and it just went click.
No.
And our phones were outside. Everything was outside. All we had was a laptop and one microphone. And all of Hannah's housemates were out. And
that's like how a true crime murder starts.
Yes, honestly. It was awful. And we were just desperately trying to like Facebook message people and be like, can somebody come get us? And like she was messaging her housemate and he was like, I'm on a mega bus like coming back from Glasgow. I'm not going to be there for hours.
Yeah.
It was awful. But that is where we recorded like one of the first episodes of Red Handed, which is still up. And actually the first ever live tour that we did was called Started in the Cupboard, Now We're Here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was a real, like for us, you know, we say it was like a real like Cinderella story. We came from absolutely no idea to thankfully where we are now.
Well, you guys are doing so, so well. It's incredible. It's an incredible story. And presumably when you started, nobody was listening.
It's like 100 people.
I remember when we hit 100 and I rang you.
Yeah, it was. It
so
felt
excited.
Big.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the way that worked in quite a helpful way for us is a lot. Not a lot of people in the UK were listening, but actually because the topic we do is so translatable to the rest of the world, we actually still to this day have a much bigger audience in North America than here. So 50% of our listeners are actually in the US, which is really unusual for a UK podcast, but I think it's just because they started listening first.
Yeah, and we've never fenced ourselves in either. I think something that podcasters tend to do is because everyone's trying to come up with the new idea, right? Yeah. And I truly believe that there are no new ideas and it's a waste of time trying to think of this thing. But some people be like, I'm only doing murders that happened in South London on Wednesdays. And then like nobody cares about that apart from people who are in South London on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So I think we could very easily have just been like, we're just going to do British crime and that will be our thing. But we didn't. And I think that's one of the reasons it grew so fast.
I love it. You guys had to have been very, very passionate about it to stick at it for so long. What is it about true crime that you both find so interesting? Because you just picked up on it at random. Something drew you to it.
I mean, it's about people. I think like we've always been interested in why people do what they do. Mm. And in the true crime world, like murdering someone is probably the most extreme thing that you could possibly think of. And I've always been really interested in why that happens. Like what gets someone to that point? Because nobody is walking around murdering people for no reason. Mm. So there's always a story behind it. And then in that story, one of our producers was saying that like, it is just storytelling from a particular angle. Like there's always an interesting topic behind it. And it's just a good like hook to hang loads of stuff on if we want to talk about communism.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I got to tell you, it's one of those things that it does freak me out just a little bit. And I think I stay away from it. I don't know, maybe something from my childhood scares me. What's your breakdown, demographic-wise, men to women, in terms of your listeners?
The figures that we're getting from our platform, I don't see how they are totally accurate, but they seem to suggest at the moment that we have a 50-50 male-female split.
Interesting.
And that has changed over the last like 12 to 18 months. We're not necessarily seeing that, like, if you see who's following us on social media, who comes to our live shows, who buys our merch, it's predominantly women. But I would say that we have seen a definite shift in whether those statistics are accurate or not. There's definitely been a growth in the number of men who are listening. But predominantly, it is a female-led genre.
Yeah, because you do hear... That's right. I suppose it is a stereotype, but women do typically seem to enjoy the true crime stuff more. I could be completely wrong about that as well.
No, we do get asked that all the time.
Why do you think that is, though?
Well, it's a super common question. People always ask us, like, why do women listen to more true crime? I think it's just that I don't think that there is, like, a female monopoly on, like, being attracted to the morbid or the macabre. I think that men and women are equally interested in those things. I think that there's just a different range of stuff that they're interested in. And I think, for example, if you look at like the kind of true crime that we are enjoying at the moment, which is kind of the more intimate familial murders, for example, I think women are drawn to those kind of murders. But if you look at the ones where it's like the gangster stuff or the mafia stuff, like a lot more men are interested in that. And I think, again, coming back to that, women not having the monopoly on like the macabre, I think we find a lot of men are interested in like war documentaries or war books and things like that.
Certainly, yeah.
And I think that women maybe are just holding the monopoly on this. I think there's a lot of theories you hear from people that women are often the victims of these kind of thing, and that's why they're interested in it. But I don't know. I don't know if that's exactly the reason. I think it's just one of those things. I don't think we have a definite answer. One of the things we did sort of explore when we were writing our book during lockdown was the idea that why is anyone interested in true crime, men or women aside? And I think the closest we could come to was the idea that fear is like such a biologically powerful drive for humans. Like, fear is such an emotion that we have evolved to respond to. And I think in the modern world, maybe we don't engage in that feeling very often, especially where we are. We live very comfortably. We're in the West. Like, there's not that much stuff going on here to trigger that response for us on the whole. So is this kind of an escapist way of like looking at and dipping your toes into the fear pool to get that little kick of something that our hunter-gatherer ancestors biologically evolved to have a response to that's quite addictive, but then it's very safe because you can just close it and walk away at the end of it.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the closest. I do think true crime is a bit of a weird sort of escapism for people, but an escapism into a place of fear, which sounds strange. But I think it's like why people watch horror movies, go on roller coasters, whatever it might be.
I think it's a really interesting answer. And I recently decided that I don't like horror movies and I don't like going on roller coasters. And that makes me really boring.
No, and that's probably why you don't like true crime, and that's fine.
Possibly
so. Yeah.
I need to toughen up a bit, girls. My life's scary enough already.
No, I don't
need more.
I think people often ask us, like, how do you cope with the topics that you cover? And I think that different people have a different like appetite and a different threshold for these things. And I think if it's not your bag, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it, because it's not going to make you feel any better. And I think that you should just consume what makes you happy.
Totally. Has there ever been a story that's been too dark in your head to talk about on the podcast?
Oof. We wrestle with this one quite a lot, because there is one that from the beginning we've just been like, I don't think we can do it. But then as we've gone on, like over the past 6 years, we're like, well, why doesn't her story deserve to be told? Versus all of these other things that we've done. So her name's Junko Furuta. It's a Japanese case where she was tortured for day and like tortured, like just the most unimaginable stuff by schoolboys. And their parents knew and they didn't hand them in. And then the Japanese judicial system is mental and like moves really slowly. And there's all these loopholes and they basically did like no time at all.
Not good.
No. So that one we have avoided, but I don't know.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit beforehand, but what do you think is the worst, either the worst story that you have covered on the podcast, as in like the dark. You don't have to maybe tell it, but if people wanted to go research, what's like an episode they could find that's a really juicy one, like a dark story?
David Parker-Ray, Scrap Metal Sex Toys, it's called.
Goodness.
And I'll just leave that one with you.
That one there. Goodness gracious. Yeah, that probably won't be the one I'll listen to. I'll be back to the airport later.
We're quite good at, as Saru says, closing the book and walking away. We're quite good at compartmentalizing.
Mm.
But that, I had dreams about that one.
Yeah, no, that one was rough. I think we do mix it up. So like, for example, the one that's coming out this week maybe would be a bit more like palatable for you, Joel. So it's on the guy who, you know, DHL, like the courier company. Mm. He is the H in DHL, or he was the H in DHL. He vanishes one day when he goes out in his plane. The plane crashes, but they never find his body.
Mm.
Man's obviously a mega billionaire, one of the richest men in the world at the time when he vanished. And he didn't have any heirs, he didn't have any children, he wasn't married or anything like that. And then basically this woman who lives on this tiny little island, kind of in the middle of nowhere, came forward and said, my son is his son. And basically, because they didn't have his body, it was like, where are we going to get DNA to test it? And then the people who were then running his business really didn't want this son to be the son, because then they were going to lose money. So it's just this whole like kind of escapade of this lawyer trying to help this little boy get his inheritance, his birthright. And that is not grisly, it's not gory, it's quite, it's just like a mystery.
I'm gonna listen to that one.
We do have ones like that as well.
That's a really good recommendation. Well done.
So there we go.
Oh, fantastic. You're gonna have to link me that before I go, and I'll listen to that on the way back. Amazing stuff. Well, we'll get into a bit more of this in a second. We are gonna take a break from our lovely sponsors, but before we do, we're gonna play another game, or at least warn you about game. Now, Hannah, you've already had a go at this, so your time has come, my friend. It's ready to rock. We're going to play a game of 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
I will explain to you how that works when we get back from our sponsors. But prepare your mind. It's going to be a fun experience.
Excellent.
Hi guys, it's me, Sam.
And me, Billy, and we have a podcast called The Sam and Billy Show. Ma'am, what would you describe it as?
Good question.
Do you want me to prank you now?
Go for it. What are you going to say?
Next minute, me and her are in the meat wagon.
Shut
getting dropped
up.
Off outside.
You've got racks. Not mice, racks. He's got racks.
Mum's in there with me. I've got a Coke in my hand. I'm like, just giving birth. And I was like, oof.
And that is going to be the most irritating thing. Edward's going to be buzzed out with you.
It's so annoying.
We'll be playing Three Blind Mice and the recorder in the house. Seriously.
Oh, you would like it.
It's a boy.
And then we all just screamed, didn't we?
Have you never tried your breast milk?
No.
I think it's best to just give us a listen.
Listen to The Sam and Billy Show now, wherever you get your podcasts. Listening to our everyday kind of just gibberish, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we have returned. We have returned. And it is time for a game of 20 questions. Now, usually when I do this in the show, the rules are simple. I will give you a number of categories to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You think of a category, and in 20 questions, I'll try and tell you the answer.
Okay.
The difference on this episode is, you haven't told me which category you're thinking of.
No.
Which makes this a bit harder. And Hannah, you're going to try and help me figure this out.
Okay.
Since you know each other so well. Are you ready?
Yeah, I feel like I know most things.
Okay. So, I mean, categories that most people would pick from are like a PIN number or biggest fear or first pet or first kiss or their address or childhood crush or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you try and figure this out with me.
Okay.
And what we're looking for are little facial cues. And you'd be shocked when you get nervous.
Yeah, just throwing stuff
you'd
about.
You'd be shocked how easy this is to do whenever you get a feel for it. So could you do me a favour, Ruthie, if you put your hands like this above the table?
Oh, just above the table.
Yeah, just so we can see movements a little bit more as well.
I've had a lot of coffee.
I feel like I should get my nails done though. Look at that, shocking. Oh, you can't see the coffee, can't you? Okay, so you're going to notice little movements here. In fact, if you want, just for fun, you could put your hands here just so you can feel, but it's okay. Okay, so Ruthie, think about the category that I'm trying to guess.
Okay.
You have it in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to say a couple of things here. You just watch carefully, see if you can figure this out. These don't count as my 20 questions for the category. I don't usually do that, so don't say anything. Was this your first pet? Don't say anything. Was this your house address? Is this your PIN number? Is this the name of your first kiss? Maybe a little something there. I don't know if you spotted anything on that one or not. Maybe. Is this your favourite colour? Your favourite food? Are you seeing anything so far?
I think it's her dog's name.
You think it's her dog's name?
Mm.
Okay. Be honest. Are you thinking of your dog's name? Which just goes to prove, girls, this is harder than it looks. No, I like people to try and guess, because sometimes the listeners think, well, maybe if I was there,
right,
I would just get it bang on as well. But it's tricky, right? We'll keep going. I know it's between two, so I'm going to let see if you can guess. Is this the name of your childhood crush? Good. A little smirk. And is this the name of your first kiss? That little smirk was on purpose. What do you think, Hannah?
I think it's first kiss, and I just remembered who it is.
This is good. Was it first kiss?
It was.
You can relax your hands. Thank you, Rudy. Okay, so we're going for your first kiss. Uh-huh. Do you know just their first name or their surname as well?
I know both.
You know both names?
I know both, yeah.
Okay, we'll probably just go for first name, because surnames can get difficult. Plus, we don't want to, you know, completely out them.
He has a very hard surname.
I'm so glad this is going out to the public.
Yeah. We can bleep it. We won't. How's he doing? Have you seen him recently?
I have seen him recently.
Oh, really?
He came to our show with his girlfriend.
No way. Does she know?
I don't think she knows, but I don't think she'd care.
Well, hang on. Well, how old were you?
Should I answer? Mm. Okay. 17?
Okay, so that's all right.
Like, right. We should be over it by now.
Yeah. I think it's okay. It's safe territory now. Yeah. Okay, I've already sort of started the 20 questions. We don't really keep track, to be honest, but so long as it doesn't feel like I'm asking you 100 questions, we'll still take it. Okay, try not to give this away. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. You can, if you'd like, lie to me, or you can tell me the truth.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Does this begin with the letter A?
No.
The letter R?
No.
Don't react for a second. QRSTUVWXYZQRST.
Yes.
QRST, yes.
In that range of letters you just said, yes.
Oh, it is. Well, thank you for helping me. Not R?
No.
V?
No.
Oh, you're too sweet. You can't lie to me.
I want you to succeed, Joel.
I know you do. You're too nice. It's because you're in showbiz as well. You know how hard it is.
I know how hard it is.
You'd be surprised. Most people do not say that. They want me to fail miserably.
See, they're mean people.
I like to gloat afterwards, so I can see why. Does it begin with the letter V?
It does.
Okay. So guy's name begins with the letter V.
She's not being that nice. It's a really hard name.
Guy's name begins with V. That is already quite tricky. I mean, it does... In some ways, it makes it easier because it narrows it down.
Mm.
Is it like a name that I would know? You'd say it and I go, that's a name. Or is it a very obscure, strange name?
It's not a common name.
Okay. Short name though, right?
Yeah.
That was a guess, but it looked like mind reading, didn't it? Can you just relax for a second? Just place your hands on the table for a moment. Would you just count the number of letters in your head? So that'd be handy. You're right-handed?
Uh-huh.
Three letters?
Hmm.
Yeah? Could be.
Yeah.
Is it a name that is a longer name but could be shortened?
Uh-huh.
Is it a name that could be a boy's name or a girl's name?
Not really.
Okay, I might not get this bang. I'll try to get some of the letters. I feel like there's a C in there, but I could be wrong.
Not a C.
There's not a C. Okay. You said you know both names.
Uh-huh.
Are you in any way thinking of the surname at the same time? That might be throwing me off.
No.
It doesn't start with a P, does it?
Mm-mm.
Mm. I might struggle here for a second. So I know where you're going for your first kiss. You might be the first person to completely catch me out on this, which would be okay. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was something like Vic or Viz or something like that, but I can't be sure.
It's because I said it wasn't a C. He's like, oh, it's a K.
Oh, is it a K?
No, it's Vic.
Vic, good on you, Vic. Well, thank you for playing 20 Bloody questions. Hell. And Hannah, I appreciate you helping with the first round.
Yeah, man. I'm amazed.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's completely useless skill outside of the podcast, really.
I don't know what to say.
People say to me all the time, they go, but Joel, like, that must be so cool. You can read people's minds. They go, yeah, but I do need to go A, B, C, D. It's not like I can just predict the lottery numbers, you know. Anyway, thank you girls for doing that.
That was amazing. Well done.
Appreciate that. Okay, guys, you now know the score and how I can sort of guess this. I picked up on Saridi's tells when going through the alphabet, and once I got the first two letters, it was pretty easy to make a guess from there. It's all about being confident and just going with your gut. I want to get inside the mind of somebody else, not you guys.
Okay.
I want to get inside the mind of a killer, right? Because you guys have heard so many stories and you've pretty much, I'd imagine, heard everything under the sun. Are there certain character traits or the way that you think these people think that they're common?
I think it depends.
Do you think there's anything they have in common?
I think it depends on the type of killer. So if we're talking about a serial killer, for sure. They have very like similar ways of thinking.
So give me an example, because I know very little.
Okay. So I'd say a serial killer is, I mean, this is obviously, these are exaggerations, but I think with a serial killer, you're typically going to find someone who is definitely a psychopath. That is going to be something you're going to find, which gives you a very specific set of behavioral traits. And any psychopath is also a narcissist. So again, that comes with a very specific set of traits. So it'll be things like a lack of empathy towards other people. It will be impulsive behavior. It'll be irresponsibility. It'll be calculating, glib, manipulative, shallow, parasitic lifestyle. Those kind of things.
Oh, I think I know some of those people. No, I don't.
And their brains are built differently in the case of a psychopath.
So in that case, is it their fault?
I think that's one of the most enduring questions. So we wrote a book during lockdown, and one of the things that we were trying to talk about, they're not so much is it a person's fault, because everyone has free will, right? I think we're not here to take that away from people. People have agency. You make choices.
Yeah.
And I think whatever your compulsions are that are driving you, you can restrain those if you choose to. And I think there are lots of people who have psychopathic tendencies who don't kill people.
Yes.
In fact, they go on to become very successful CEOs or lawyers or surgeons or whatever it may be, because they have a certain level of singular focus that they can apply. And other people don't really matter, so it's easier to be those things if you don't really worry too much about your family, for example, not being around them or whatever. But if you're talking about somebody who is a killer, they've made a choice to do that. And that can be driven by something that happened in their childhood or some form of trauma or something that has pushed them down that path. So I would never say it's not their fault. But some people are more susceptible, let's say, because of their genetics than other people.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? So that's a serial killer. You said that well, there's more than just serial killers, it could be different. So give me an example of maybe something other than a serial killer.
So the difference between a serial killer and a spree killer is that they both have high counts, right? To qualify as a serial killer, you need to have at least three separate murders and there's a cooling off period in between.
Okay.
A spree killer is all at once. A spree killer will usually have a manifesto. They will have a strong sense of justice and also being hard done by the system or women or something, usually women. And they will have planned it meticulously. It's very, very rare that someone will go on a spree killing, like a mall shooting or something, without having thought about it for... It's not someone who just snaps.
No.
And then you have the type of people who never kill anybody, who never even have a criminal record, and then end up killing someone. But they typically kill someone who's very close to them.
Yes,
so
exactly.
What freaks me out is presumably these people didn't think they were going to grow up to be killers. So at some point, something switches in their head. Can you imagine being that person and the first time you have that thought, you would think, you would catch it and go, mm-mm.
Well, you'd hope so.
And I think people don't.
And I think the type of people who are the serial killers, they typically, we know that serial killers on average start killing in their 20s, so mid-20s, so around about your age, Joel, is when that kicks in. And they're people that they don't want to control their compulsions. They enjoy it. And I think it's...
Have you ever thrown a kitten against a wall?
Yeah, that's
not
a good start.
Not yet.
Okay, that's a good
start. I've never thought about it. You put it in my head now.
Well, there you go.
No, now I could never do that to
And now
kitten.
Hannah's in your head.
Oh, no. This podcast was a bad idea.
But I think that's the thing is, like, we always say this on the show, it's like that's what drives them. And often with a serial killer, you end up seeing a sort of merging between violence and sex. And so they wouldn't be turned on by ordinary sexual encounters. They need something that is at that level in order to get them off. So,
like, have you seen
Free
Solo?
Don't stop.
No.
So it's about this guy who climbs an enormous mountain, no ropes, anything, completely on his own. That guy, psychopath, like 100%, because they don't have the same reaction to things as, like, quote-unquote, normally brained people. So he needs, when other people can just, like, go to a bouldering gym. He's like, no, I need to get the same sense of achievement. And he only smiles once in the whole documentary, and it's after he does it.
Yeah.
And it's a second, and then it's gone.
Yeah. It's almost
watch,
like,
it's amazing.
No, it's
free
so
solo.
Good.
Free solo,
it's such
yeah.
a good documentary. But it's a really good example of man who's not killing anybody, but it's who needs a high level of stimulation
yeah.
to get the same level of thrill. So whereas you or I, any of us, might get a thrill from just staying home one night and watching a horror film.
Watching TikTok.
Yeah, watching TikTok. They would be indescribably bored. Like, for them, wow. it needs to be, what is the most extreme thing I could do to get that dopamine hit that
That's
other
so
people
sad.
Just get from eating an ice cream or something?
Yeah.
And I think that, yes, in some ways they are victims of their biology, but in other ways, like we said, they have a choice.
Yeah, there's plenty of people who had the same set of circumstances
exactly.
and didn't go that way.
100%.
Okay, girls, now listen, you've listened here by every single story under the sun. You've been inside the minds of many different people. I want to see if you can use those skills to get inside my mind.
Okay.
We are going to reverse the way we usually do this. I'm going to play two truths and a lie, but I'm going to be the liar.
Oh, no.
Ooh, it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting.
Pressure.
I want to see, as a team, can you tell me when I'm telling the truth and when I'm telling a lie?
Okay.
I'm going to try and make it easy for you. They're not too hard, I'll give you.
Okay.
And you can quiz me as much as you like.
Okay.
Or as little as you like.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So in no particular order. I can play three musical instruments.
Uh-huh.
I have written down here muscular instruments, but that's not. I've written down three musical instruments. That's number one. Oh, you want me to just keep going? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is my father is a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is that I have a severe nut allergy.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Do your worst, girls.
We already know you play the drums. You told us that.
What are the other two muscular instruments you play?
I play the piano.
Okay.
And I can play the trumpet.
Can I see your hands?
You can.
Give us a little piano. Nailed it.
Thanks.
Smashed it.
But drums,
you know, he's
it.
Got quite long fingers. I feel like he could play a piano or a trumpet.
I'll be honest in that I can't really play the trumpet well anymore, but I used to be good.
He's
can you name a major scale?
Sorry?
Can you name a major scale?
Any of them, you know, any
Anyone,
of the letters.
Any,
I can show you
them.
On the trumpet with my fingers. That's C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C.
Okay.
He's given a lot of details.
I think
with
that's
that.
Right. I think that's.
Okay, next one. What was the next one? The instrument. Your father's a minister.
Father's a minister.
Okay, tell us a bit more about that. What denomination or.
Presbyterian.
Okay.
Presbyterian. And I grew up, he was. I say he was an assistant minister.
Assistant
okay.
minister.
He still
Quite
is a minister,
people.
As in when the post arrives, it arrives as reverend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of performers have religious talky parents. Joey Taranto from Obsessed with Disappeared. His dad's a pastor.
Just shows you.
Joe Jones, famously.
okay. I feel like we're not looking at him enough. I feel like we should be looking
know,
at him for ticks.
You.
No.
Yeah. Observe me.
Okay. So where did you grow up? Where was your dad's church?
The church was 10 minutes from our house in Bangor, okay. Northern Ireland.
Okay. He was looking up there. Isn't that thing? If they look in one direction, they're lying.
There's some truth to that.
Direction.
Yeah, there's some truth.
They're remembering versus, which way is it?
They've never really proven it. It's kind of woo-woo, like,
you would say that.
Programming
would
stuff.
Say that.
But depending which way you look up is whether you're accessing actual visual memories.
Well,
or whether
he just looked up there when he was
up.
Trying to remember the thing he was telling us, but he looked up there when he was making it up that his dad's church was in wherever he said it was in. I don't know, I'm suspicious of that.
All right.
And then it was all the post arrives and it's got Reverend on it. I don't know, look. Because he was remembering up there
don't
and
like
he was
this.
Looking up there. Ah, all right.
This is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
What was the last one?
Last one is that I have a nut allergy.
We were quite severely prepped for this.
Oh, yes, that's true.
And we were not prepped to not bring nuts into the studio. And this is quite a small space.
That's true.
What happens when you eat a nut?
It's not really severe, as in, like, nothing bad will happen.
Oh, now he's backtracking.
But, like, it's severe enough to where I'm like, please. Like, if I eat nuts, I'm in trouble. If there's nuts in the room, it's okay.
Okay.
If I eat, like, if I had a Snickers bar, not good. Rash.
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 On the back of my neck and on my shoulders.
Interesting.
Nothing else, just a rash.
No. It's just a rash. So when I say severe, I mean I'm a bit of a wimp.
That's, that's interesting.
Her brother does have a severe nut allergy.
Yeah, because they can be. My cousin
does
as well.
But not severe. He doesn't even have an EpiPen. but it's not a rash because it's more
Tug itches.
Where it's touched you. So I'm surprised that there's nothing orally going on when you have a nut.
But that's what happens to me when I'm allergic to Christmas.
That's true, but we don't know if it's a physical thing. I get it with dogs
as well.
Interesting.
But you're not eating them.
No, I'm not eating dogs, but if a dog licks me, I'll get rash.
But that makes
sense.
Really? But that makes sense. But if you're eating it and you're not getting a facial, you're not getting an oral reaction, I'm also suspicious of that now.
Okay. So what are we saying, girls?
I believe the instruments.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then did he just, it's very hard to see your face.
I'm moving the microphone.
I believe the instruments too.
Instruments.
You're saying that's...
No. I was trying to see what your reaction you would have.
Just shout words at
instruments.
Me.
Instruments. minister. Your dad's a minister.
I think it's not.
Or you have a nut allergy. I mean, most people these days have got an allergy, so that is realistic. I think we go for the minister. I don't think it's true.
I think so too.
I think people fall for it because he's got an Irish accent, and I don't think it's true.
Yeah.
We're going to go for that. Is it right?
I don't have a nut allergy. That's complete nonsense.
Oh no.
My dad is a reverend minister and I can play three music
lyrics. God damn it!
Come on.
Should have gone for the nuts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not
but
as easy
I think
as it
our
looks.
Reasoning was pretty good.
It was good reasoning. And when you started grilling me about nut allergy stuff, I was like, I know nothing about nut allergies. Why did I pick
that?
Which is a stupid one to pick. Well, girls, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Joel.
Before we go, where can they find out more about you? What do you want to plug? Tell us all.
Oh, well, just come listen to Red Handed if you're into true crime. We put an episode out every single week. We also have another show that's called Shorthand, which is about 20 minutes to half an hour every single week. And that is not always true crime related. So that can just be on anything that we think is interesting. For example, oh my God, what have we done a recent shorthand on?
Elizabeth Holmes.
We did one on Elizabeth Holmes. Mm-hmm. We did one very recently that Hannah wrote on how gonorrhea gave us grandparents.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wow, amazing stuff.
And we've got loads on there. Yeah, we've got some really interesting episodes of shorthand. Mm-hmm. My God, what else have we done on shorthand? I feel like that was... Oh, we did one on a NASA experiment that ended up with a woman having sex with a dolphin.
Yep.
Where else would you get it, girls? Where else would you get it? Well, make sure you do listen to that, guys. And I just want to thank you so much for coming in. This has been a really interesting chat. I can't wait to listen to your show on the way home now back to Belfast. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We've had the best time. And if you ever want to come on an episode of Shorthand, let us know. You can come.
I'd love to.
Tell us about the history of magic.
Oh, I'd absolutely love to.
That'd be sick. Yeah, definitely do that.
Let's do that.
There's some good stories. Magicians have died in all sorts of weird ways.
Oh, we should definitely do that. The darkest deaths in magic history.
I like the one about the guy who pulled the head off a cow in Egypt.
You know what? Haven't even heard it. But
let's do it.
But we can talk about that. Well, that's a date. We'll absolutely
amazing.
Sort
let's
that.
Let's do it.
Hannah Sarudi, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And listeners, always remember to guard your thoughts because you never know who might be listening.
Here's what's coming up on next week's episode.
I'm going to ask you the same question again. Is this a dog?
No. You're going to waste half your questions on is this a dog?
How am I doing here? Seven? Six?
Six.
Six, okay. Is this a chihuahua?
Honestly, I'm not lying to you. I'll tell you if I was lying because you said I'm allowed to lie. It's not a dog. Stop wasting your questions on dog questions.
Okay, it's definitely a dog. Okay, I'm going
I promise you, it's not a dog. Like, if it's a dog, I'm actually just a liar.
If you want another podcast to listen to, why not try out a compelling new audio drama from Crowd Stories called Eliza. Eliza's a robot, but her story is very human. She exists in a world of dominance, manipulation, and love, all set in a future that's far too close for comfort. It's fiction, or is it? Just search for Eliza. And remember, be careful of your thoughts, because you never know who might be listening.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.